Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the M.M. Forgings Limited 4Q FY22 post-results conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need operator assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Jain of Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Peter. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome all of you in 4Q conference call of M.M. Forgings. We thank management to giving us opportunity to host the call. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Vijayasankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Mr. Venkatakrishnan, CFO, M.M. Forgings. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Krishnan for opening remarks, followed by the question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Morning, Abhishek. Great morning, investors for joining us on this call. We have achieved a record turnover of 1,123 crores in FY 2022, and our EBITDA margin stand at 19.6% with net profit at 9.95%, and an amount of 111.77 crores. Our interest costs have come down marginally last year from 31 crores to 27 crores, largely on the back of converting, swapping some debt into foreign currency. Most of our debt is largely in foreign currency only. We have depreciation provided at about 2.5 crores higher than the previous year, and provision for taxation has considerably gone up from 8 crores to 21 crores. Company as a whole, we've achieved 1,155 crores of turnover and EBITDA levels of 20.36, which translates to 229 crores of operating profit, with interest going to 32 crores and the provision for taxation at 24 crores and overall profit at 111 crores. Basically, this is the summary of the previous year. On the operations side, we have produced close to 61,000 tons and sold about 62,000-63,000 tons in the previous year. This compares with about 45,000 tons or the 43,000 tons of the previous year. Sorry, 47 of the previous year. As far as machining is concerned, today our machining percentage stands at 51% of sales. It has steadily risen over the 43% level of the previous year, and we would expect that this number reach around 60%-65% in the months and years to come. For FY 2023, we expect to produce and sell close to 80,000-90,000 tons, which would mean that we register an increase of anywhere around 30%-50%. We would expect to end this year at about 1,400 crores of turnover and suitable EBITDA levels. As far as markets are concerned, USA, we handle more than 80%. 85% is commercial vehicle, 10% is passenger car, so 95% auto and 5% is non-auto. Out of this, a good portion of our sales goes to the Indian market at 46%, 20% roughly each to Europe and Asia and America, and the balance, 14% to South America and rest of the world. How are these markets behaving? We see continued demand in the U.S. market, though things are a little bit subdued due to non-availability of chips, integrated circuits. The delivery of Class 8 trucks stretches well into the next 10- to 12-month period. You can't get a truck today other than for 10 months later. So due to pent up demand, we see that the truck industry in the US will generally ride it through an oncoming slowdown because of a higher interest rates and consequent to that lesser demand. Europe, we are seeing some lesser demand as it is itself, not by much, but generally there is a reduction in demand due to a lot of trucking being stopped between Russia and Western Europe. Indian market, we expect the Indian GDP to grow well despite the war, and we could say that worst case we would lose 2 percentage points on our growth if there is a global slowdown. But otherwise, the India story remains strong. There is a huge demand for trucks as of now, and the market is quite booming in the CV segment. Passenger cars is hampered by availability of semiconductors, and there is no end in sight over the next 1.5 years. Overall, I would say things are looking positive, with the joker in the pack could be a recession or a slowdown in global markets riding on the back of inflation and its consequent impact. So this is the situation as far as MMF is concerned, and I would like to now open up ourselves for questions. Just a couple of points on the debt side. We ended last year at about 373 crores of term loan debt. This year we are ending at 430 crores. On the capex side, we plan to invest close to 300 crores this year, upwards of 300 crores this year, and a good amount of that will come from internal accruals plus some additional borrowing. So that's it from my side. Now I'm open to take the questions on the floor.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Thank you. Our first question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer with Sequent Investment. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on good set of numbers, sir. I just wanted to know what is the current capacity of the company and the current utilization levels as on March 2022.
Current capacity stands at 1 lakh tons. We have had some delays in commissioning our 6,300 ton press. That will be commissioned. The press is now ready, as its associated equipment is waiting for some tooling, and the press will be commissioned in the month of December. Sorry, in the month of June. My apologies. So it's any time due. Therefore, our capacity is 1 lakh tons, and you can quickly say that we are at about 60% capacity utilization.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll join back in queue.
Next year, continuing on, just so that you know, same thread could be picked up for others as well. Next year, we expect to end up, or this year, we will reach 120,000 tons, and we expect a utilization of 80 to 90,000 tons on 120. So if it's 80,000 tons, capacity utilization goes up to 66%.
If PC it is disconnected.
90,000 tons, we reach a capacity utilization of 75%.
Fine. Got it. Thank you, sir.
Power off.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri with MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations for the set of numbers. Couple of questions from my side. When you talk about volumes of about 89 to 90,000 tons next year, would you be able to highlight, you know, what are the new OEMs or the autos that we have added this year? That's the first question. You also mentioned about a huge number of turnover, which, if I'm not mistaken, was about 1,400 crores. that implies a realization of about 155,000 rupees a ton. Whereas if I look at this particular quarter itself, you know, the NSR seems to have been, you know, significantly higher. So, you know, where is the, you know, disconnect over there? And final question is on your EBITDA. At about 17,000 tons volume this quarter, we did roughly about 32 rupees a kg kind of EBITDA number, which is comparable, you know, to last couple of quarters also. So any view on that number in light of rising raw material costs? So these are the three questions that I have.
Hi, can you repeat your first question, please? It's a bit elaborate.
So when you say 90,000 tons, you know, a volume next year, what's it about 62,000-63,000 this year? What are the new OEMs or orders that we have won, you know, in last about, let's say, 12 months, which is giving us, you know, that confidence of this kind of volume growth?
Basically, we have we see not much of a customer addition other than one major player in the PV market, but largely, and that will not give rise to too much of tonnage, but definitely will contribute a little bit, and it's a door opened for MM Forgings. Otherwise, mostly it is expansion of business with existing OEs or with existing.
This order book is already in place?
Yeah, this order book has been in place over the last 3 years. 2 years of COVID and a lower economy. Of course, products being developed as well. So, which is why we've been giving these numbers for quite some time. And basically waiting in the wings for development of products, launch of products, and of course, the economy to zoom a little bit.
And regarding the same question, who would be, let's say, our top five, you know, customers? Would they include OEMs or would they be tier one vendors to the OEM? And how much do they contribute to the total turnover?
The top five customers of MM Forgings would contribute roughly around 50% to MM Forgings.
Okay. And these are OEMs or these are sort of tier 1 vendors to the OEM?
Combination of tier 1s and OEs. Largely OEs and a few tier 1s here and there. Of course, in 5 you can't have too much.
Second question was on this, you know, volume and value, you know, numbers that you gave, which gives us average NSR of, you know, about 155 rupees a kg. But if I look at fourth quarter numbers, we did about 17,000 tons, and which implies, you know, a realization which is significantly higher at about 190 odd rupees. So where is the disconnect over there? We have a top line for quarter four of about 322 crores, and implied tonnage for the fourth quarter comes at roughly about 17,000 tons.
Correct, 18,000 tons. Okay.
Yeah. So if I divide 322 crores by 18,000, I'm getting about 179 rupees a kg kind of realization. But if I divide, you know, 1400 crores of turnover expected for FY23 by about 89,000 tons, that comes to just about 155 rupees a kg. So in this 322 crores, is there any other sales besides forgings which is included over here?
Very good point. See, that 1400 crores is more of an expectation than a calculated number. The 1400 is estimate. I'll substantiate myself. Okay. See, 60,000 tons for this year and 1150 crores.
Right.
Okay. So 60,000 goes to 90,000. Our turnover should go up by 50%.
Right.
So 1150 should get not to 1400, but 1150 will get added by another 675 crores. So 675 plus 1150 will take it to 1825.
Right.
Okay. So the 80,000-90,000 number is a broad range, and I've taken the turnover at a lesser limit of that number. It's purely an estimate. Okay. It's not a calculated number that I said, okay, same rate multiplied by this. You could also, in my defense, you could also factor in a little bit due to raw material rates falling. Steel prices fall, the inflationary impact on the top line will be a deflationary impact. So all told together, the 1400 crores is only a quick number. 1400 on 1100 or 1150 is about 30% growth. Whereas on 90,000, 50%. So that's a it's not a disconnect. Both these are projections. To that extent, it is a thing. But your point is valid. I see no reduction in overall sales per ton or sale NSR. It should be around the same figures. Of course, adjusted suitably for raw material fluctuations up or down. But at this point of time, I would say raw material is headed southwards.
Okay, okay. And last question on our EBITDA per ton, which is today about 30,000 odd rupees. In a deflationary scenario, let's say if the metal prices were to go down, are we confident of achieving that 30 rupees a kg kind of EBITDA? Hello.
It's about 50 rupees. Right now it's about 36 rupees per kg. Yeah, I should ballpark say that it should hover around those numbers.
Okay. Okay. Sure. I have more questions, but I'll get back to you.
Frankly, what will happen is scrap prices will come down. So to that extent, it will impact EBITDA.
Okay. Okay. Got this, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
At the same time, other things will also come down. So operating margins could be a little bit more improved. So it's all totally, it's not linear. No change today is linear, but multidimensional. I would broadly expect that, yes, 32 rupees should continue.
Right.
Maybe even 36 levels itself for the year.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back in with you.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Sanjay Satpathy with Ampersand. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Sir, thanks a lot for the opportunity. I just want to know that your Q4 performance, isn't it a little below what you thought will happen about 5-6 months back?
I would say we could have done about 5-10 crores plus easily, but ballpark it's been reasonable.
Because I remember clearly that you were looking at some new programs starting in this March quarter itself, and which was supposed to give a major improvement in your revenue run rate, quarterly revenue run rate compared to the previous one. Whereas your March quarter number is slightly below what other commercial vehicle manufacturers have reported, which is why I'm asking this question.
Overall, I would say these numbers are satisfactory, Sanjay.
Okay, okay.
And so we can look at doing a little bit better than what we do. But I would say overall, these numbers are reasonably online.
Okay.
We've not lost anything to moan about.
Okay, okay. And as you said that you have done about 60,000 volume in fiscal 22, right, sir?
Correct.
Okay. And considering that you already were sitting on a huge capacity and your capacity utilization is still not optimal and your debt is still rising, what could be the reason for this 300 odd crore capex that you are planning for fiscal 23?
Lot of it is in machining. See, what happens is that while forging capacity is fungible, machining capacity is largely dedicated. And when customers come in with newer products or higher volumes for existing parts, the investments have to be specific.
Okay. So bulk of the capex will be in
the machining side. 200 crores out of this will be in the machining side. The balance 100 will be adding only 10,000 tons of forging capacity where we are having a bottleneck in one particular segment plus debottlenecking of other areas.
Understood. And your current quarter number is only above 300 crore, but what are the volumes, sir?
Current numbers you have already said, no? About 17,000 tons.
Okay, okay. And you are looking at that volume number to go to 90,000. But will this growth be a bit more back-ended, or we will see this ramp up sometime sooner?
We should see it sooner. From Q2, Q3 itself, may not hit a run rate of 90,000 tons. Yeah, it could. Actually, the whole thing depends upon a little bit on the market. So, we should be ramping up from Q2 onwards.
From Q2, not Q1.
Q1 may be a tad slower.
Okay, is that because of Europe situation or something else?
Europe is slightly dull, no doubt. Overall, the impact of summer on production globally, and I would say new parts kicking in Q2.
Understood. My last question is that are you comfortable with your debt position now, or you will start to look at deleveraging in a bigger way sometime soon?
If you look at our net debt position, we stand at about 160 crores of 240 crores of net debt as of now, and that on EBITDA is hardly, you know, just above one times current EBITDA. So not a matter of concern over there on a net debt basis. So even if we take some borrowing for this year and some repayment of 90 crores coming in, that debt levels go up a little bit also. It could go up from 1 times EBITDA to 1.5 times, which is by another 100 crores. Still not a matter of concern to me.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, then please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain.
Congrats for a strong set of numbers in a tough quarter. Sir, although the European CV market too down due to the ongoing war, but energy prices is also increasing in Europe. Hence, there is an increase in manufacturing cost there. So how do you see this is an opportunity for the Indian exporters?
Definitely, Abhishek, it's a good opportunity, no doubt about it. But what we could see is if demand in Europe itself is coming down, then to some extent there could be a shift. And when demand comes down, sometimes customers are loath to change sources. So, but the energy crisis in Europe will afford a tremendous opportunity. For example, if this war continues in close to next December, I think it will be a huge opportunity for any kind of metal products getting into Europe.
And it will also have to expand your margin as well?
Yes, definitely.
And sir, to diversify your business, what is your plan for expansion in the passenger vehicle segment? Your passenger vehicle currently contributes around 10% of the revenue. Your peers are also recording impressive growth in the passenger vehicle, both in export and domestic side. So, do you have any plans to expand your business in PVs?
We have plans to expand in PVs, and we are growing our business there. Only thing is that the CV market with heavier parts is growing at a much more rapid rate.
Okay.
Not only just plans, as I said to one of the questions earlier, we have bagged a customer on the PV side. In fact, not just one, I would say two customers on the PV side. Both of them, I would say, in the top three in India. So, in the last few months. And effectively, we are supplying to the top three within the country.
So, what is your revenue target by FY24 or 25?
See, what happens is that PV numbers, because of the weight of the products that we are in, is not going to be adding too much to the tonnage side and too much to the sales side. So, let us say PV right now is 10%. That means 100 crores. I would say this will hover, go up to about 125-130 crores at best.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Gaurav Kumar with Money Square. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you, sir. My question is, as you said, as there is a large order backlog of Class 8 trucks in North America. So how do you see the situation improving from second half of FY23? What is your guidance on recovery?
Well, it's a million-dollar question. Whether there will be a significant impact on account of inflation on demand itself. And even the best economists are stumped by this question. However, with the tools available at the hands of central banks and the, today it's a very inflation, information driven world. So I would say that banks have a lot of tools these days, and hopefully, God willing, it should not enter into a slowdown. So if that doesn't happen, okay, I have to guard my statement. If that doesn't happen, the Class 8 market will go very strong. And I would imagine that with a sharp rise in interest rates, cooling off of already steel prices, we've seen Government of India really slamming the brakes or taking a sledgehammer and going behind steel prices in a very sharp manner. So such measures taken by governments across the world can definitely cool inflation. Demand is strong, but inflation could fuel a reduction in demand.
Okay. Thank
you. Particularly, India holds a lot of promise in the months to come. India holds a lot of promise because our demography, and we see a lot of wage pressure down the line itself, which augurs well for demand. Which means Indians are demanding more wages because they want higher standards of living. They want to consume more. They want to spend more. And that in turn means that right from tractors to trucks and cars, things would go up.
Okay. Thanks for your detailed view, sir. Thanks. I will fall back in the queue.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, then please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question is from the line of Naveen Mehta with Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sorry, I joined a little late. I just wanted to firstly check what was the domestic and exports mix during the quarter?
51% domestic, 49% exports.
Okay. And this is just a follow-up question with regards to the, the average selling prices. That seems to be varying quite sharply between quarters. So I just wanted to know, is there any kind of freight recovery element out here, or it's a product mix which is kind of...
Largely product mix, Naveen.
Okay. Fair enough. Sir, and you mentioned that we are looking to do close to around 80,000 to 90,000 tons for next year. Out of that, how much will be, let's say, new products contribution, and how much would be like organic growth in the end markets?
About 15,000 to 20,000 tons will be new products. 50-50, I would say.
Okay, so for, of the incremental contribution, you're saying 50 to 20,000 would be new products.
Yeah.
And that would ramp up from when, sir?
Q2.
Okay. And lastly, sir, on margins, what is the outlook here? So how are you seeing things with inflation still kind of, I think we would have some amount of under recovery. So just wanted your thoughts there.
Growth should take care of some of the margins, of the headwinds on the margin side. And I would say growth happens, we should be margin positive.
Okay. But even currently, are you seeing continued pressure on the gross margins per se? Or you think we are kind of past that and we should see a little bit of relief from there?
these days, I will admit that these days there's a huge pressure, if not on anything, at least on wages.
Okay. Mainly on wage cost, but on let's say pure commodity cost, you're okay.
Steel is definitely going down. There's no doubt about it.
Okay. Okay.
So notwithstanding a 11,500 increase rupees per ton increase from 1st of April, I would say in Q2 this will be reversed and even go below March prices.
Okay. So that would hold true only for, let's say, first quarter. After that, you expect a reversal out there.
Yeah, on the steel side. Similarly, what also happens is that when your numerator and denominator are pulled down a little bit, assuming no other changes in how we operate, margins will be positive.
Understood.
Yeah. The negative side to that is that you can't have inflation-driven growth. Like a good 80 crores out of this year's growth has come out of on the back of steel prices.
Okay.
That will not happen. Which is good, no? It doesn't add, it just adds fluff to both top line and
absolutely
middle line. So that is not margin accretive in any sense.
Perfect. Alright, sir. Thank you so much.
The added advantage of lesser inflation, meaning that demand will not be impacted, which is also another plus point. But I think in India, demand is going to go through the roof in any case, regardless of inflation or not.
Okay.
But the good thing is that commodities have started cooling off.
Great, sir. Great to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ronak Vora with AUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I want to understand what is the kind of demand environment for the US Class 8 trucks. So, our order book, which you said was just before COVID, and we are still ramping up on that. But are we seeing any new orders coming in from the Class 8 end?
We are seeing your products being developed there. And demand there is largely going to be riding on how the sector itself performs. As of now, they have a 10-month backlog. That backlog continues, which I think it cannot be, a 10-month backlog cannot disappear overnight.
No, I understand that point. But are we seeing newer orders for Class 8 trucks in our portfolio in the last 6 months? Or is it like the earlier backlog is, being executed as of now?
Only earlier orders being executed as of now.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Gautam Gosa with Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted a clarification on the net debt number. Can you repeat that number, please?
Yeah, sure. Net debt stands at roughly 240 crores as of end of this year.
Okay. And, sir, on the 6,300 tonnage line, so when will that be commissioning and what will be the potential contribution in FY23 from that line, like in the tonnage perspective?
That press is commissioned, I don't know if you missed it out, it's going to be commissioned in the month of June. And it should add about 8,000 to 12,000 tons minimum this year.
Okay. And sir, a clarification on the EBITDA per ton as well.
Sure.
So for Q4, the EBITDA per ton was around 30,000.
Yeah.
So do we expect it to... go to previous levels of 36,000 for FY23? Yeah, like I just wanted an outlook on that.
I would say we'll be largely around Q4, Q3 levels in the region of around 33 to 35,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri with MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for another opportunity. I have a question on our, recent acquisition, Kafuma. I understand that in the previous call you highlighted that it will start contributing from, April this year. So what has been the contribution now in 1Q? Has it started contributing in terms of top line? Second question is that I understand that, EBITDA margins there, at least in FY21, were positive in sort of 20s. Would that number be correct? So on about 8 crore rupees top line in FY21, EBITDA turned out to be roughly about 1.6 crores or so. Is that assumption correct? And asking the first question, what is the contribution now in 1Q?
Yeah, good set of questions. Kafuma is turning out to be positive as we had planned. From April onwards, customers have started getting parts from us, and that is definitely top line positive. We expect Kafuma to add, the acquisition of Kafuma to add around 60 to 80 crores of turnover for this year.
60 to 80 crore this year.
Yeah.
Is that number probably significantly lower than what we were estimating, let's say, at the end of, beginning of the Q4 when we did the previous call?
It is almost in line with what we've been.
I understand you were highlighting something like about 30 crores a quarter. This one turns out to be about 20 crores a quarter, which is why I'm asking this question. And would the EBITDA margins at about 20% be correct number there?
I don't recall 30 crores a quarter, but somewhere in the region of 20-25 crores a quarter would be the long-term strategy for Kafuma. That remains intact.
Okay.
But this year, I would say we would end up between 15 and 20 crores, more closer to 20 than 15 crores per quarter.
Okay. And in terms of EBITDA margins, what would be the number there?
Similar to whatever they've reported so far, 20 or 20 to 25%.
So that's in line with what MM Forging does at current level.
Correct.
And would we be merging this company into MM Forging, or would we would run this as a separate subsidiary?
Ultimately, I think we should merge the subsidiaries into MM Forging, because their standalone functioning doesn't make any sense. Once we've crossed the sandbox threshold and ensured that there's no hidden surprise. In Kafuma, I don't expect any surprise because it is run by a very disciplined entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
So, we just had to wait out on the statutory sides to see a couple of GST audits completed. And then we should commence the process of merging. DBS, we've already begun the process by moving the headquarters to Chennai. So I think that also passes. And once our sales tax and other returns of the previous era are completed, we would look to merge it into MM Forgings as well.
And would it be safe to assume that pre this acquisition, MM Forging would have been the largest customer of Kafuma?
Sorry, pre-acquisition, MM
Forging? Yeah, we would be largest supplier of unmachined components to Kafuma. Would that be
Pre-acquisition, we were, Kafuma was not buying anything from us.
Okay. So and now once the acquisition, they do machine crankshaft, right?
Correct.
And we would be supplying to this particular company in terms of whatever material they could process that would help us, ramp up Kafuma much faster in that sense?
Yes. That is why such development took some time for to fructify.
Right. And last question from my side, and one of the earlier participants also asked this. If I recall our Q3 conference call, we were thinking of doing capacity expansion in FY24 onwards, but now we will have almost about 300 crores of capex lined up in FY23 itself. versus our operating cash flows, you know, which would be probably in the range of about 130, 150 crores. This 300 crores will be fully spent out in that particular year, or is it just start of the capex which will happen in FY23 and which will go on in the next financial year also?
As of now, from the numbers that we have and the projects that we have on hand, looks like that this spend will happen in FY23 itself.
Okay. So in which case FY23, there will be at least about, like you said, about slightly more than 100 crores of additional debt that we will have to take.
Might be. Mostly, yes.
All right. Just one final question, sorry, to, you know, sort of
explain. Might be, I would say mostly.
Okay. You mentioned about, you know, 10 months waiting period for Class 8, you know, orders. The current order book, which is already, you know, there, you know, that's equivalent to, you know, how many years capacity available for Class 8 production in USA? The order book, which is already there.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's 10 months.
Okay. So that's the, so versus let's say today order book is 100, the production capacity of the industry is only 8, you know, probably 70 or 80, something like that. Is that the right way to look at it?
I would say this way. Normally there should be hardly any waiting time for trucks, or the normal waiting time should not exceed 2 months.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
And today it is almost about 10 months.
So now it's about 10 months. So you look at it from a waiting time perspective, it's long. Really long.
Okay. Okay.
Right. People haven't encountered this kind of thing. And that too, uncertain waiting. Huh? It's not that you get a booking today and you get a truck, let's say, next March.
Right.
Understanding the agreement is that you could get a truck next March.
Okay.
Because customers there, the legal system there is very strong. So they don't want to get sued on loss of demand or loss of business, etc. So the agreement says that you could get a truck next March. In fact, even cars, I understand, have moved away to, if you buy a car, you have to sign a waiver saying that I'm ready to take delivery whenever I get the vehicle.
Okay. God bless, sir. Thank you so much.
If there's any cancellation, I get an advance, my advance paid back without interest.
Got it, sir. Got it. Thank you so much, sir.
So, notwithstanding inflation headwinds, I think these two trends mean that there will be pent-up demand, and that should ride through a recessionary period. What is also happening is, for some reason or the other, cycles in India have become, globally, have become much shorter. So I would say that this recession should not, the slowdown, if it does translate to one, should not be too long.
Yes, sir. That's really nice of you to clarify. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Shashank Kanodia with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Firstly, if you could please reshare your geographical mix between India, Europe, and US.
46% India, 20% Europe and US, balance South America and rest of the world.
Okay. Understood. Secondly, sir, you alluded to, you know, some recessionary trends because of the inflation thing, plus there could be some pent-up demand as well. So for FY24, what could be your realistic expectations or the tonnage that we can do?
As I said, I am no economist, and economists themselves are struggling on these questions. I would say that pent-up demand, you know, from where I sit, okay, with my eyes, maybe you put it down to visual thinking or whatever, the way I see it is that pent-up demand will override a slowdown.
Right. So then
so
we should
be 24, it will, 23 itself, sorry, FY23 itself will be a year of growth only.
Right. So, sir, in that case, we should be exceeding a lakh tonnage in terms of the tonnage, or is it the safe assumption to do?
Boss, if I do it, I would love to invite you to my office for a cup of tea or for a dinner itself.
Right. And lastly,
why not? Why not? But we'll be challenging close to that 80,000-90,000 tons that I talked about. We should be challenging 90 comfortably then.
Right, understood. So lastly, you know, you are aware about this, the CV space domestic and globally being cyclical in nature, right? And we have been pretty aggressive on the capex spend. So how potent we to count this fresh capex spend that we are incurring, and what kind of payback period is something that we are targeting out of the same?
Generally, our payback is around 5 to 6 years. That's our internal benchmark.
Right. But sir, is it prudent to spend incremental capex on a cyclical industry which might eventually peak out in FY24 sometime?
Otherwise, we should not be in this business. In the CV business, you have to be ready to ride the cycle. Otherwise, what's the option? You can't be half-baked. No, it's like stepping out of the crease, a batsman stepping out of the crease and suddenly changing his mind to defend the ball. 99 out of 100 is going to get stumped.
Yeah.
So you play in this wicket, you've got to play to win. And which means that, see, the advantage for MM Forging is that we straddle four geographies. So, but overall slowdown is there. Well, any industry is subject to an overall slowdown. So I would say investing for the CV market is not all that bad. Or for the footing industry or the industry. Otherwise, the consequent, the next conclusion should be, okay, Baba, find a better business to be in.
Okay. Then lastly, our domestic CV is largely MSCV space, right?
Yes. LCV also, we are into LCVs as well.
Okay, but it should be a small single digit percentage, right?
Yes. Sheer size of those parts, it should be a single digit. No, yes, not single digit. Single digit.
Okay.
We'll capture that for you in the next meet.
So thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pranav Zaveri with JMJ Holding. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. If you just highlight when you were mentioning the Class 8 trucks, there is a pent-up demand and basically the waiting period is 10 months. I'm just trying to understand, say, because of this chip shortage, they were earlier making 100 and because of this shortage, now they're making 80 and that's the rare, there is a backlog and so eventually the number will be lower than the previous numbers. So how does that, from their standpoint view, there is a pent-up demand and we have a waiting period of 10, 11 months. From a forging point of view, how do we correlate that number?
Yeah, thank you, good sir. Question. Very, very interesting one. See, the point to be looked at is in this light, okay, there has been an increase in price of commodities leading to inflation and such a high rise that economists are all considering whether this would burst the demand this thing and cause a recessionary trend. So this, if you view that in terms of a backlog of deliveries, I would say that demand should not fall off the cliff. Demand should be at least steady. So there is one thing that is lifting the curve and one thing that is pulling down the curve. Worst case, the curve will be flat.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
Thank you, one and all. So, it is a pleasure answering these questions. Many of them were very incisive and very, provoking our thought as well. And in as much as we try to, cover all aspects, can't be matched with the initiative of 20 analysts, each one trying to see a new facet of the organization. So it's all these meetings are a good learning experience for us, and this one has been no different. So we look forward to a strong year ahead, and we require all your good wishes for this year so that know, we look at well reaching our 80 to 90,000 tons target.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.